Against a blue background, a shimmering louvered image of a castle forms. The space beneath the castle flares magically to reveal the words Walt Disney Pictures as a shooting star creates an arch over the logo. Rising up from beneath a huge branch, dark green leaves flutter downwards in a dark blue sky and an acorn tumbles from branch to branch. It lands on a leaf floating in a stream, sending out circular ripples. The words Great Oaks materialize in the water. A cloud of jumbled words swirl into a title made of mathematical symbols, splitting the words Walt Disney Pictures Presents with brackets. The words break apart, whirling into chemical formulae and mathematical shapes. A tower of carbon and hydrogen spins wildly. Other elements form into a Great Oaks production and then scatter. Hexagons, triangles, and symbols intertwine in constant motion, forming the name Robin Williams. The letters smash apart. Spinning wheels, upside-down figures, letters, and calculations twist and roll, combining and bouncing off each other and forming the translucent word flubber. The shapes scatter to reveal the words, a Les Mayfield film. Marcia Gay Harden. Christopher McDonald. Raymond J. Berry. Clancy Brown. Ted Levine rests beneath a root symbol, split with an equal sign before swirling away to become Will Wheaton, Scott Michael Campbell, and Edie McClurg. Sunlit trees break the rich blue sky as a paperboy cycles along a shaded suburban street. The words Casting by Nancy Foy hover above a parked car. The boy mounts the sidewalk alongside the words co-producer Michael Polaire. The paperboy cycles past a large house and throws a newspaper into the yard. The headline reads, Henniker threatens to close college. The words, The Flubber Mambo by Danny Elfman, appear over a background of mechanical scrap and plants, followed by Music by Danny Elfman. Costume designer April Ferry, steam rises from a collection of strange machines in a yard. Visual effects supervisors, Peter Crossman, Tom Bertino, and Douglas Hans Smith. Gas cylinders rest next to a trash can on a porch. Film editors Harvey Rosenstock, ACE, and Michael A. Stevenson, ACE. Physics and chemistry books clutter a desk. Production designer Andrew McAlpine, director of photography Dean Clundy, ASC. The alarm clock dances on the bedside table.
I'm up!
A hand hits a launch button, firing the trash can outside high into the air.
Up! And ready for a new day.
Oh. Oh, what a beautiful morning!
Oh, what a beautiful day!
The trash can plummets to the ground. Executive producer David Nixay, in a kitchen full of inventions, a weird machine crushes single coffee beans on a metal plate while another picks up an egg. Produced by John Hughes and Ricardo Mestres, the egg cradle fires a laser onto the turning egg and cracks it into a pan. Pictures of a coffee pot and a toaster flash on a computer. Screenplay by John Hughes and Bill Walsh. A pancake-making contraption splats batter onto a hot plate.
I can't find my socks.
Where are your shoes?
Where are my shoes?
They're on your feet.
Thank you.
Directed by Les Mayfield, a mechanical arm puts a plate of eggs, bacon, and pancakes on a kitchen table.
Thank you, Weber.
Morning, Weibo.
A small robot flies in.
Hi.
Her lid lifts to show a screen inside.
Have you seen the paper this morning?
Oh, yes, I did. You know, if I could solve this whole metastable compound business, I could save the college. You know, a new energy source would be worth a fortune.
You better hurry up. The loan's due at the end of the school year.
Not to worry, Weibo. I'm very close.
May I see my schedule, please? After school, there's something. I know there is. What is it?
This is your complete schedule.
See.
Unless you didn't tell me something.
What is it? There's something there. What is it? Oh, it's something to do with white.
6 p.m. wedding to Sarah Jean Reynolds flashes on screen.
I knew it.
Well, I don't know. I'm sorry. I know it's so frustrating, isn't it? I just hate it. I wish I could help you. But I can't.
Haircut! Ha!
At Medfield College, a dark-haired woman stands on a desk in a wedding dress.
They can't just close down the school. outside of the Ivy League, name me one private college or university that isn't in financial trouble.
She's on the phone.
Oh, all right. Name another. You don't think it's too much?
No, it's elegant. And it's a wonderful idea to go with the big wedding this time. It does put the pressure on the professor to show up.
If he forgets this time, that's it. Well, in his case, once is justifiable, mm-hmm. and twice is understandable. But three times.
Coming through.
Wearing a helmet and safety goggles, Phil, the bow-tie-wearing professor, whizzes towards a campus on an electric scooter. In a classroom, students draw nudes.
Morning,
or afternoon, whatever the case may be. We have a lot to talk about today, so let's get into it without delay. Thank you, whoever gave me the plate of fruit and the dead pheasant. This does not count as extra credit. Last time we were talking about Newton's law of gravitation. To review, we see this G is like the C in E equals MC squared. It's a constant in the universe as much as anything is constant in the universe. It's saying that the force of attraction between two bodies is in direct proportion to the product of their masses and in inverse proportion to the square of the distance between them. An example would be, let's make a naked man, M1. Naked lady, M2. Now, according to this formula, their attractive forces would want to close the distance to zero. Why don't they? The Earth!
Ah.
So, in essence, that is gravity, and this is Dr. Richard's life drawing. It's not my class, is it?
Phil strides across a sunlit courtyard where students mill about. He walks down stone steps onto the lawn.
Sarah! Oh, very sorry.
He accidentally hits a girl as he waves.
It's own momentum. May I sit here? Thank you. Hello, Sarah. What a pleasant surprise. Hello, Ruthie.
Martha.
Martha what?
Martha, me, Martha.
You, Martha. Me, Professor.
Yes, I know.
I was just gonna, grade my lunch, eat a few tests, and hope for the best.
How do you hold it in?
Well, like everybody else, Ruthie, I just cross my legs real tight.
No, I was talking about your excitement.
Excitement?
The wedding.
Congratulations.
She jerks her head toward Sarah. Phil copies her, then looks over.
The wedding! Sarah and I. Oh, the wedding. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Aren't you, honey?
It's today.
Are you sure?
The wedding is today, okay?
I believe you.
6:30 at the Presbyterian Church on Beach Street.
I've been there.
We had our rehearsal there last night.
That's right. We did. It went well?
Yes, it did.
Good.
But it doesn't count.
No?
The wedding counts. And I want you to promise me on everything between us that you'll be there, okay?
I'd rather die than disappoint you.
Well, this is going to be the very last time I try to marry you.
I imagine so.
I know that I love you, but I'm not sure that you can love me.
That's ridiculous. I love you with all my heart, with every cell, with every molecule, with every atom. I love you on a subatomic level.
Prove it to me tonight at 6:30.
Prove what, honey?
That you love me.
6:30.
Good luck.
Thank you, Betty.
Weebo watches TV.
I knew I shouldn't have come, but... Oh, I'm very crazy about him, you see, Miss French. And this is the God's truth. I want him to have what he wants. Even if it means you instead of me.
No, no. You love him. Don't give him up.
A robot vacuums the blinds.
Hey! I'm watching something! Gregor!
Don't you be quiet.
I'm watching TV. Download some manners.
But he ain't in love with me, Miss French.
Tell me about it.
In a lecture room, the professor studies a complicated arrangement of scientific glassware filled with bubbling liquids. A man walks in. Phil attaches a round bottom flask to a rotating machine.
Hello, Phil. What are you working on? Can't remember? I understand. That's a damn shame they're shutting your college down. I read about it in the paper.
It's not over yet.
Oh, we're doing fine at Rutland. No such financial problems. Hey, are you still working on that lighter-than-air compound?
Yeah, propulsive polymer. I don't mean to be rude, Wilson, but I have to go.
You don't seem too happy to see me, Phil.
I'm not.
All the years we've known each other, studying, working together. What happened between us, Phil?
Well, I just got tired of you stealing my ideas, Wilson.
And what would you have done with them? You would have misplaced them, forgotten them, lost them. There's no doubt you're the brighter of the two of us. You have a genius for science. I grant you that. It's just the science of daily life that eludes you.
Oh, I've heard that coprocyte before. Excuse me, that's very volatile.
I won't deny that I hate you for your brilliance. I'm petty, corrupt. Probably would have gone mad trying to compete with you in pure thought. But I'm not an innovator like you, Phil.
Yeah.
I'm an adapter. And to that end, I have profited from your ideas.
Why are you here?
Oh, to be honest, I'm here this weekend to steal your fiancé and make her my wife.
Well, I think you'll be sadly disappointed.
I'll see you at the wedding, then.
Phil leaves. At home, he ties a bow tie in a mirror.
It's a little crooked. Yeah, there you go.
Hey, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
The wedding was not on my schedule.
No.
Why was that information deleted?
I don't really know.
Do you have another virus?
You know, now that you mention it, I am feeling a little feverish.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You are a little hot. Say ah.
Weibo's top flips open with the cartoon lion's mouth on its screen. Suddenly, Phil sees a computer screen behind her flashing the word hot.
Oh, yes! Hot, cold, hot. That's it. The hydrocarbons have been inhibiting the Cooper pairs. But if you go from hot to cold very quickly, you get a conductive polymer, and you complete the metastable sphere. Behold, there it is. Now it'll work.
What about your wedding? Sorry, Sarah.
Canceled appears on screen. Phil rushes to the basement.
Should I call the church and tell them you'll be late?
He ignores Weibo. He rushes to his equipment, taps a dial on a gas gauge, and adjusts liquid flow into a flask.
Very good. Flowing. Oh, condenser. Pressure reactor. Yes.
Weibo floats above him, watching as he hammers the radiator.
Yes! It's ready.
He opens a tube's tap over a large pressure pot and plucks a hair from his head.
Organic catalyst.
He drops it in.
Positive. And the negative. Little touch of electricity.
He activates the detonator. Nothing happens. An explosion rocks the house, smoke billowing from the basement and hurling a leaking water tank onto the grass past the sidewalk. The smoke-blackened professor sits up amid the mess.
Wow! What a bang!
Yeah, little touch of electricity.
It's not helpful.
He flips Weibo's screen back down and windshield wipes his glasses with his fingers, turning to survey the devastation of his laboratory.
Oh, boy. This is not good.
No, sir.
Weibo?
What?
Get a broom.
That'll help.
A couple walks down the sidewalk as a car drives along the street outside a church. Inside, only the two front benches are empty. The priest watches a man and a woman get up and walk out. Sarah, in her wedding dress and holding a small bouquet, stares out of a huge lead-framed window. Her cheeks glisten with tears. A single tear rolls down her cheek and splashes onto a white lily. Wilson opens a bag of wedding rice and pours it on the floor. He smirks, staring into the distance. Night. In the basement, Phil picks up the shattered remnants of a pressure gauge. He looks at it sadly. He puts the gauge down on a glass-strewn table and stares at the white, frost-covered pressure pot next to it.
2 years.
He kicks the pot and limps away with a grimace of pain. As the professor climbs the basement stairs, the pot starts to shake. Suddenly, steam bursts out from around the lid. Phil stops on the stairs and turns around, staring in surprised alarm at the pot on the table. The pot continues to shake and, still staring, he furrows his brow and walks cautiously back towards the pot. He gets closer and peers intently at the handle on the lid clasp. Very slowly, he bends down and, without looking, reaches for a protective glove. He puts the glove on, flicks open the clasp, and throws up the lid. From inside the pot, the steam clears, and the professor peers down, wide-eyed. A green shape rises in the steam and suddenly pops up. Weebo hovers nearby, and they both stare in awe at the small green blob oozing up from the pot. Phil reaches for it with his gloved hand. It recoils in a flash and slowly peers back up, swaying like a snake. Phil smiles and takes off his glove. He wiggles two fingers. The blob ducks and partially forms two fingers, mimicking him. He opens his hand, palm up. Enticed onto his hand, the gelatinous blob rolls itself over the lip of the pot and stretches up, looking around.
Oh. Oh, bless you. You have a cold. You should. It's 77 degrees Kelvin. It's very cold. Okay. Come on. All right, let's try and describe you. You're an elastomer. Yes,
He squeezes it.
You're highly viscous. But yet you can phase shift. Well, let's see. You're moldable.
Weebo watches as he pokes it.
It's a little ticklish.
Oh. He molds it into a balloon dog shape.
You're foldable.
He points.
You're gullible. Oh, right. Let's see. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. And...
he stretches it.
Ooh, you're ductile.
The professor pushes his face into it, and the stretched blob keeps the shape.
You're elastic. Let's just see how elastic you are. Okay.
He drops it, and it bounces back up, hitting the ceiling and rebounding to the floor faster and faster until he catches it. He tosses it from hand to hand, and it splits into two. It splits again, and he juggles three blobs, then kicks one back into his hand.
I'm the hacky-sack king.
Keeping the blobs up with his feet, he folds his arms in a Greek dance style. He catches all the blobs as one globule. Weebo shows Mickey Rooney clapping wildly.
Bravo! Encore!
Oh, boy. Weebo.
Yes, sir?
Take a picture.
Okay, look this way. Smile!
The flash makes the blob freeze in a jagged star shape. It panics. It bounces from the floor to the ceiling and against the walls. It smashes into a lamp and a red bottle. Phil jumps up to get out of its way and ducks as it rebounds. He puts a lamp on his head just as it hits Weebo. He lifts his left leg, then his right. The blob moves faster. It bounces up the stairs and out the basement door.
Weebo!
Professor!
It's amazing!
Excuse me!
It's miraculous!
Professor!
It's
gone!
It is!
He races upstairs, stepping over the instant photo of him and the terrified blob.
Professor, I think you gave it a little too much free will.
The blob ricochets down the street. A boy stares fearfully from his bed. His father stands at the window.
There's not a darn thing to be afraid of, pal. How can anything get in your window? It's closed, okay?
The blob smashes through the glass door and bounces off the walls. The boy dives under the covers and the blob smashes another pane, escaping to another house. It smashes into a plate of corn cobs and knocks a teenager off his chair. The boy looks up in disbelief. A man carries a garbage bag out of a house. The blob smashes through it and bounces down the hallway. It follows a woman's rear, swaying in time and making the same shape. The professor runs upstairs to a closet filled with junk, which falls on him as soon as he opens the door. Outside, the blob bounces off a car and through a screen door, scattering into a house in hundreds of tiny bouncy pieces. A dad and his two kids flap frantically at the bloblets. A cat paws at them. A little dog chases them on his bed. One blob jumps up and down on the TV remote, switching channels to various shows. Another bounces into a pot of black ink and paints the Mona Lisa. It joins others and they add a mustache. The terrier defends its bed while the dad looks confused. He jumps on a blob to stop it. It propels him against the opposite wall. The full blob escapes. Phil grabs a baseball mitt from the closet. The blob bounces off cars in the street and smashes back into the professor's house and into the waiting mitt.
Whoa, Weevil! I got it!
Great. Now what are you going to do with it?
Oh, it has incredible inertia.
Maybe it's just glad to see you.
Weebo.
Yes.
Oh, do you know what this is?
Flying rubber?
Yes, that's what it is. It's flying rubber.
He opens the mitt.
It's flubber!
The flubber makes him punch himself. Twice, he falls down. Wilson leans on a car, waiting outside the church as a janitor holds the door for Sarah, who carries her wedding dress.
Thank you for waiting so long.
Yes, ma'am.
She sees Wilson. He smiles sadly and approaches. The janitor closes the church door.
I'm sorry, Sarah.
Are you going to tell me I told you so?
No, no. I'm going to give you a ride home.
Thank you.
He takes the dress and guides her down the steps towards the car.
There you are. Careful. Watch you down.
He spins the car keys. At the professor's house, a top slides back on a heavy metal container.
It's perfectly safe, Weevil. It's just an ordinary radioactive isotope that Weber is now removing from the lead containment unit.
He's in a silver protective suit.
Very good, Weber. Now, you place the radioactive isotope carefully behind the sliding shutter. You see, the sliding shutter works just like a camera. It regulates the flow of gamma radiation. Instead of billions of random particles, you have a precise stream of energy. Now we carefully place the sliding shutter mechanism underneath the flubber, and I'm burning up in here.
Weebo.
Over here.
The gamma radiation triggers a metastable decay in the flubber itself.
Right.
Which releases enormous quantities of energy, and that's what propels the flubber.
Of course.
Now, doing it this way, I believe, is a lot more scientific than dropping it or kicking it or bombarding it with light bulb photon flashes.
Absolutely.
I believe...
He takes a remote.
Controlling the gamma radiation flux. We can control the movement of the flubber itself. Cross your fingers, Weebo.
Here's hoping.
Good luck.
He flicks a switch to up. A tripod holding the container of flubber rises.
Oh, yes. It works!
As he pushes the flip higher, the flubber hits the ceiling.
Descent gradually. Back up again! Yeah!
His watch alarm goes off and he drops the flubber. It's 6:30.
My wedding. Gotta go, Weebo.
But you haven't finished the experiment yet. You're just getting started. You can't just stop in the middle.
The wedding. Oh, I can't miss this one, Weebo. I'm aware of the time, thank you. But your days are wrong. I'm getting married Friday, 6:30 p.m.
No. No, you're not.
Why not?
Because you're not getting married, Philip.
Yes, I am.
You missed the wedding. It's 6:30 in the morning.
No.
Yes. I'm sorry.
He stares at the time on Weebo's screen.
It is.
Yeah.
His face falls. At Medfield College, Sarah works in her office. A figure shape appears in the glass pane of her office door. She looks up from her desk as Phil pokes his head around the door. He smiles thinly and waves. Sarah stares at him for a moment and returns to her work. The professor walks slowly towards the desk.
Sarah?
You have a lot of nerve to show your face around here after what you did to me last night.
Will you please let me explain?
No. There's nothing to explain. You weren't there. For the third time, you left me standing at the altar.
I'm sorry with all my heart. But please listen to me, Sarah. Please, you know me. You know how sometimes I can get really fixated on an idea.
I don't want to hear it.
Sarah, you've got to hear it. Sarah?
She turns away.
This is the reason I didn't make it last night.
The flubber wobbles in his hand.
It's flubber. Flubber! It's a metastable compound, Sarah. In layman's terms, if you apply a small amount of energy...
He bounces it.
It liberates an enormous quantity of energy. But the total effect is transient, Sarah. The moment you stop applying energy, it returns to a quasi-plasmoid state. Isn't that remarkable, Sarah?
What's remarkable, Philip, is that I ever fell in love with you. You broke my heart. So that you could stay home and make some green goo.
Sarah, it's much more than that. Flubber could save this college. Let me demonstrate.
No.
Just give me 1 minute, okay?
He rushes to an open window.
The flubber is placed in my back pocket. When I exit this window, I will fall to the ground. When I hit the ground, the flubber will send me right back up, unharmed. Watch.
He clambers onto the window ledge. Gripping the sill slightly, he hangs out over the edge. It is a long way down.
Ta-ta, my love.
Are you nuts?
I'll be right back.
The flubber escapes.
Philip!
He lands hard on his back. Sarah looks down.
Ouch.
Philip, are you hurt?
Just my pride.
Well, if you think that you are going to get my sympathy, you are wasting your time.
She hits her head.
We are finished!
She closes the window.
Sarah.
Knees drawn up, Phil rolls stiffly to his side. A bright red off-road vehicle speeds up a driveway to a mansion. A gardener tends the lawn. Inside, one man reads a magazine. Another watches TV. The man reading glances out the window.
Junior's home.
A boy bursts through the front door.
Dad!
He drops a bag on a table.
Dad!
A headline reads, "College flunks math." Mr. Henniker folds the paper and looks up with a smile.
Somebody in your organization screwed up big time. I got thrown off the basketball team. I flunked chemistry. I'm on a academic probation.
He picks up his son's letter.
How did this happen?
I'm supposed to get A's. At least that's what I was told.
The only reason I loaned this jerk Nick college money was so he could get straight A's and go to Harvard Business School. This isn't supposed to happen.
Well, yes, sir. We talked to Brainerd guy, the chemistry professor. Now, either he did not understand us or he forgot.
The boy knew that we were having persuasion problems, sir.
I have a science requirement, you morons!
Quiet. We'll have to get the F changed to an A.
Won't work. This guy, he doesn't live in the real world. He has principles.
Get something on him that we can use to force him to change the kid's grade. When a man says he has principles, what he means is he can't be bought cheap.
Night. A car pulls up outside Phil's house. Henniker's thugs check it out from the car. Now, glancing quickly around, the balding thug takes the lead. The gray-haired man looks down at his feet. They walk around the house. Inside, Phil scoops green powder with a measuring spoon. He rotates a spectacle-mounted magnifier into position. The powder blows away and gives an annoyed look. The two men peer through a broken window to the basement.
Adding 500 milligrams crystallized flubber to common hand cream. Stirring in solution.
The professor takes a glass stirring rod from a jar and mixes the cream and powder. The two men look at each other, watching the professor's back.
Spherical test subject.
He unzips a pocket on a golf bag and takes out a golf ball.
Perfect. Here, now, about two.
He lowers the ball into the pot of cream and turns it.
Applying flubber in a solution. Externally to a golf ball. Very good. Evenly over the entire surface. Test number one.
He drops the golf ball, which whizzes off the floor and ceiling, smashing into bottles and shelves. Phil and the men track its movement. The professor ducks as the ball zooms past him and towards the men, hitting the gray-haired man hard before launching up to the sky.
Are you all right?
The professor has a bowling ball and wears a helmet.
Flying light coating, flubber, surface of bowling ball. All right.
He rubs the lotion on the ball.
Very good.
Right in the head.
The golf ball is really moving. How do you do that?
I don't know.
Commencing kinetic energy test number 2. Controlling horizontal momentum. Commencing now.
He rolls the bowling ball along a makeshift ramp.
Hit the deck!
The ball smashes into a gas cylinder and breaks the seal. It ricochets straight into the balding man's head, throwing him backwards. His accomplice watches the ball launch upwards. Phil picks up the container of cream.
This definitely has applications in the field of sports. Oh, yes.
The balding thug staggers around. He looks up as the descending golf ball hits him again. He crashes to the ground, holding his head. The balding man looks down, smiling. There is a large, round bruise on his forehead.
What?
His friend points up, and he turns to look. The bowling ball smacks into his head, and he spins to the ground. The ball flies up. Phil holds a small bottle.
Fluid flubber. With a convenient spray applicator. It's clogged.
The two thugs stand on trash cans under the eaves, peering cautiously up into the sky.
You've seen enough?
Plenty.
All right, after the bowling ball hits, we break for the car.
Oh,
hang
on. You can adjust it.
He sprays out the broken window onto the ground. The golf ball and bowling ball bounce once again.
Go!
The two men jump down and are propelled into the air. In his bedroom, the scared little boy picks up a toy ray gun. He walks to the window and stares upwards. There is nothing there. Suddenly, the two thugs drop out of the sky and land in the tree outside his window. The terrified boy runs out of the room. Weebo hovers next to a red car covered by a tarp. Phil slides out from underneath the car.
Yes! Weebo!
Yes, sir?
It's gonna work.
I hope so.
Now, let me show you how.
He hooks a light on the open hood.
I connected the accelerator to a sliding shutter. If I press down on the accelerator, it releases the gamma rays, and that increases the thrust. Oh, listen to that baby chirp. Now, the steering wheel controls lateral motion.
Mm-hmm.
If you turn right...
Okay.
It'll steer right.
Oh, turns right.
Turn the wheel left, it steers left. So, functions a lot like a normal automatic shift with... drive, park, neutral, reverse.
Yes, yes,
he closes her under the hood.
See, Weebo?
Weebo!
Oh, Weebo! What were you doing in there?
Flirting with the alternator.
We didn't touch anything. It's not the time to play. We're about to make a major breakthrough.
Okay, here we go.
He gets in the car.
Yeah. We're ready. Weebo?
Yes?
What do you say? We take her for a ride.
Fly me to the moon.
That's it. That's the spirit. We'll fly over to Sarah's house, park this baby on the roof, and then maybe she's going to change her tune.
You know, maybe you should just go without me.
Why?
Because I get car sick.
Oh, come on. You're not going to blow chips.
No.
You don't have a stomach.
I have a queasy gyro.
Now, get over it. This is not about cars. This is about Sarah. Well, get in here.
No.
Now...
all right.
The car bounces as the garage door opens.
Fine now. out to the world.
Okay, here we go.
Look at this. Let's see what this baby will do.
The car floats and accelerates.
Oh, it works.
Yes, it does.
I'm flying.
Oh, boy.
Goofy reads a how-to-fly manual on Weebo's screen.
You know what this means, Weebo?
What?
I'll never have to buy tires again. See what's on the radio, Weebo.
Phil dances in his seat as the car hovers down the street. A stoplight turns red ahead of them. He holds up his left hand.
Right turn.
He weaves left, then right. The car rises high enough to miss the light. Phil frantically shuts the suddenly open door. Slowly, he levels out and drops lower.
We're fine.
He swerves past a utility pole.
It's all right. I saw it.
I don't think so.
Weebo, there is nothing to worry about.
He crashes into the tree outside the scared boy's bedroom.
Come on. Easy.
The boy looks out the window as Phil reverses out of the branches.
Oh, sorry. First time flyer.
Phil holds a finger to his lips. Phil steers the car into the clouds, swerving through and around them. He drives the convertible with one arm resting on the window. He notices geese in front of him. The geese fly straight at him. His headlights shine brightly in the night sky.
I'm very sorry! Hang on, Weebo!
He rolls repeatedly. He performs a loop-de-loop with a twist and accelerates upwards again into the clouds. He puts his hands in the air as if riding a roller coaster.
Oh! Yes!
He levels out above a wispy blanket of clouds.
Oh, Weebo, come on up. Please, you've got to see this.
Wow, is this what you call heaven?
Almost. Look at it.
Whole world below and beyond.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Solitude up here. Stillness.
He switches the ignition on.
Silence.
Uh-oh.
They drop rapidly through the clouds, the car's lights glowing in the darkness.
Silly me! Turned it off. Turned right back on. Shutters jammed, probably, Weebo. We're okay.
Weebo's screen shows pictures of men falling.
Dark Rider! Please turn on! Has 11 Newton turned over?
The city lights rise quickly toward them as he frantically hits the dash. The flubber engine bursts into life, gently stopping them inches from the ground.
Yes!
Weebo's screen shows the Pope kissing the tarmac. Sarah and Wilson are on her veranda.
It's such a pleasure to spend time with you without having Brainerd hovering above us.
Phil hovers above them.
More wine?
No, thank you. I have to say goodnight. I have a busy, busy day tomorrow.
Wilson looks at Sarah with a confident smile. He sips his wine.
Rutland would die to have you. We'd be together with nothing but time.
He smiles again. She stands nervously and walks down the path with Wilson, watched by the professor.
Sarah.
Under the gaze of the professor and Weebo, Sarah and Wilson close their eyes and lean towards each other. At the last minute, Sarah turns her head. Wilson kisses her cheek.
I'm sorry, Wilson.
Forget it. It's okay. We have lots of time.
Listen, I'm driving up on Thursday to Rutland for the game.
I'll see you there.
Should I make dinner reservations? And since Rutland is going to lose, I'll pay.
All right. If your team wins, you can buy me dinner. If your team loses, we go up to the mountains for the weekend.
Sarah looks uncertain.
Can't. Do we have a bet?
I'll think about it.
The professor toys with an apple. Wilson exits the front gate.
I can't lose. She's mine.
Sir Isaac.
Phil launches the apple right at Wilson's head. He falls down and drops the wine. At the Henniker residence, the injured thugs hold ice packs on their heads.
All right. One more time. What happened?
He took a golf ball, he rubbed this cream on it, and then the golf ball took off and popped Smith in the head.
Several times.
I got hit with a bowling ball. Repeatedly.
Were you drinking?
No.
Two beers at dinner. Wesson had a white wine.
With dinner.
Right.
It's the stuff he's got, sir. It's
Wesson's eyes widen.
I don't know what it is. I don't know where it comes from, but...
They remove the ice packs, revealing multiple bruises.
It will give you one heck of a headache.
Oh, goodness.
Back in his garage.
I wish I could make you feel better.
So do I.
Well, maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I believe a woman should love a man for what he is and not for what she wants him to be.
Thanks for the sentiment, Weebo, but this is really not an area you're qualified to offer perspective on.
Well, I don't have much of a smile, but I do have a brain.
I have to deal with this alone. It's a human matter. Not for computers. It's for people. Good night, Weebo.
Good night, Professor.
Weebo watches Phil trudge away. Light from several computer screens throws Weebo's shadow onto the ceiling. Hovering above the desk, a red light flashes like an eye each time she chooses something on the computer. She selects scrapbook. Weebo clicks through pictures of women's faces, choosing 7. She picks one as a template and highlights the right eye on another face. Weebo places selected features onto a template. 2 eyes, half a mouth, the left jaw and cheek, part of a nose. The separate pictures flash together in many combinations. They create the face of a woman in her 20s with light brown hair, blue eyes, and a small nose. Weebo selects an outfits folder and tries different looks on the virtual model. Blouses, a little black dress, a jacket and skirt, she stops on a satin nightgown. She chooses a names folder and selects Sylvia. Weebo flies up above a stack of books on the floor. The red light turns on and she selects create. The computer hard drive light blinks and Weebo begins projecting light next to a chair by the desk. A figure starts to form, matching the image on the screen. The shimmering figure's satin nightgown flutters in a breeze as she steps forward, her feet bare. Slowly, she looks up and opens her eyes. Weebo's projected body climbs the stairs to the open door of the professor's bedroom. Weebo follows. The professor is fast asleep on his back on the bed. His glasses are still on. The translucent projection walks to his bedside, watching his face. She gently reaches out and caresses his cheek. Her face is reflected in his glasses, gazing at him. She sits down on the bed and leans towards him. Sleeping Beauty's kiss plays on Weebo's screen. Sylvia closes her eyes and purses her lips. Suddenly, he wakes up. He sits up, scattering the image into tiny particles.
Got it.
Weebo flies in a panic down the stairs to the computer.
I gotta turn this thing off. This is so embarrassing.
Weebo! I just had this amazing dream! Weebo!
Here.
She plugs in to charge.
Weebo!
She turns off.
Weebo! Weebo! Wake up! I've solved all our problems.
I'm all ears.
Flubber is going to the basketball game.
Basketball?
Yes.
The lights come on at the Rutland basketball court. Wearing sweats, a baseball cap, and an overcoat, Phil carries a sports bag and pulls a dolly down the stairs to the court. He strides purposefully to the center of the court. He rests the dolly on the center line and puts the sports bag right in the middle. He throws off his coat, puts on a microphone headset, and tests it.
Testing, testing.
He kneels down and unzips the bag. He takes out a basketball. Then he takes out a canister marked combustible. He takes the lid off the canister, releasing a cloud of vapor, and picks up the spray bottle of liquid flubber along with the basketball. He gingerly holds the basketball and starts to spray.
Applying thin layer of fluid flubber to synthetic leather surface of basketball. Application complete.
He places the basketball between his knees and puts the spray back in the canister. He wipes his hands on his sweats. He sets the basketball spinning on his right index finger and watches it intently, beaming as he turns around. He rolls the basketball along his shoulders behind his head to his other hand. He bounces the ball and it soars up to the light fixtures and ricochets wildly. The ball careens across the court, bouncing off a wall and into the net.
2 points.
He sprays the bottom of his right shoe and gently places his foot on the floor. It rebounds immediately, bouncing faster and faster. The more he tries to stop, the quicker it gets. Suddenly, he flips backwards and tumbles to the floor.
Implementing Plan B.
Very tight. Tight. And careful, 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 careful.
He gently places his foot down. He's wearing a bike helmet. His left foot is now tied to a bag of play sand.
Secondary flubber experiment. Control elements. Bungee cord. 3-to-1 elasticity ratio. 50-pound ballast. Commencing now. Wish me luck.
He starts to jump.
Yes!
Each leap gets higher until he can nearly reach the scoreboard. He jumps so high, his head hits the underside of the scoreboard. He loses control, bouncing wildly. He grabs hold of a basket. He loses his grip and bounces off the court on his backside and up into the seats. The bag of sand is flung after him. He ducks at the last minute and it smacks into the wall behind him, breaking open.
It worked! Yes.
End test.
The basketball smacks him in the head. Weber, the house robot, spray paints lines of tacks yellow.
Did you fully fix the flubber on each tack before we painted?
Excuse me, Darth Vader, but what did you say?
Did you fully fix a 15% flubber solution to each tack before Weber started painting?
Yes, I'm positive.
Excellent. And how long does it take the paint to wear off?
30 minutes.
I'd be a little suspicious if the flubber started working immediately.
Isn't this cheating?
No, it's not cheating. It's equalizing. You've seen the team. They should have their own telethon. Come on. We've got to win this game. I've got to do it to prove to Sarah that flubber really works. I'm going to do it right under Wilson Croft's nose. Don't fail me.
He kisses the tack. Now the garage door opens and Phil drives the convertible flubber car out. He sports a jacket, bow tie, and a flat cap. As he leaves, the golf and bowling balls rebound once more.
Weebo.
Yes?
While I'm out, you're in charge, okay?
Okay.
No phone calls to Russia again.
I think that was Weber.
Oh. Make sure the flubber stays in the tank.
Got it.
Under no circumstances are you to release it.
Of course.
Because you know what would happen. Now, do you understand?
Yes, sir, I understand.
Promise?
Have no fear.
That's my girl.
Go, Medfield! Okay.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Rutland Arena for the 86th meeting of the Rutland Rangers and the Medfield Squirrels. Rutland, if they can just stay away.
In a locker room, Phil puts the tacks on the bottoms of the shoes.
All right, squirrels, listen up here. Now.
Phil peeks over at the team.
Okay, Rutland may have us in height and reach, weight and power, agility, speed, and talent. They have the advantage on offense and defense. Sure, they're better coached, better trained, and their will to win is unmatched in the conference. They're undefeated in their last 108 games. But that doesn't mean we can't whip these guys, right?
The players just stare. The referee starts the game. Rutland wins the ball. A very tall player towers over his Medfield opponent and passes cross-court. Another Rutland player easily passes the ball over the smaller team and they score. Wilson claps wildly. The scoreboard shows home 2, guest 0. The Rutland coach high-fives his players. In the basement lab, Weber grips the pressure gauge on the flubber canister and opens the lid. Weebo watches. Gas drifts over the top of the open container.
Okay, flubber. It
it's time that you and I got to know each other.
The flubber flaps out of the canister and bounces into Weibo and off a lamp. A Rutland player slams another basket, making it 42-3.
Another easy basket for the Rutland Rangers. They have built up a commanding lead in the first half.
Phil checks his watch and climbs the bleachers. A Medfield player tries to pass the ball without success. Phil sits behind Sarah and Wilson.
You mean Sarah?
Excuse me. What a coincidence.
The Medfield player's pass is intercepted. The Rutland player rushes to the other basket, quickly passing it to another player who alley-oops with a teammate. The squirrel mascot hugs the coach.
Not now, Ernie! Not now!
Go Medfield!
Phil presses an air horn next to Wilson's ear.
Ow!
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Wilson.
Rutland blocks a Medfield shot, taking the ball and driving across the court for another basket. Henniker clicks his fingers at Smith.
See if you can get me another 10 grand on Rutland.
Smith takes out his cell. Henniker looks at his angry son.
You got a problem, Bennett?
You're betting against my team?
It's not your team. They threw you off. Remember that?
A Medfield player runs headfirst into a Rutland player's stomach and is knocked unconscious.
Baby, that's gotta hurt.
He fouled him! He threw his hip into that!
The Rutland player smirks and picks up the ball. The flubber glows on the tack, stuck in the Medfield player's shoes.
Flubber? Flubber! Where are you?
Flubber spins happily on a record revolving on a turntable. It hits the needle arm, which drops onto the vinyl. With the beat, the flubber splits into lots of smaller blobs, lining up on the floor, reacting to the instruments. The first in the line forms chubby arms and legs and does a mambo. Each flubber blob takes on the same form and they dance around the floor. Weibo hovers above with Carmen Miranda on her screen. The blobs form a tight circle with 12 arms dancing around the center. The patterns and shapes change and the blobs form circles which dance in opposite directions from each other. Weibo flies into the kitchen. All the appliances are dancing. Pictures on computer screens dance in time with the music. Switches follow the beat. The food mixer and popcorn maker join in. Weber dances with the fruit bowl on his head. Red juice spins in the blender. The whisker whisks. The toaster flings toast in the air. Weber shakes maracas. The cuckoo in the cuckoo clock spins madly. Weber spins with a towel above his head. Weibo turns a spotlight on the flubbers, which scatter. The blobs bounce up to a platform with tiny palm trees. Two tiger statuettes sit beside two piles of books that form staircases. Two flubber lines form in the center and split apart. A flubber couple strikes a dance pose in the spotlight. One has a little flubber skirt spinning as her partner leads. They run from staircase to staircase, spinning and dancing. Weibo watches from above, bobbing with the music. The guy flubber grabs his partner and starts to spin her like a top. He pushes her away, but their elasticity flings them together as one blob and they split again. Two blobs turn into maracas, shaking with the music. By the palm trees above, two blobs form drums, and two others play them. Colored lights go on and off in time with the beat. The sprinklers come on in the yard, lit up by multicolored lights, creating a tropical background. Bulbous trumpet flubbers bob in a line at the foot of the books. The dancing couple returns, bounding up the stacks of books and up onto the heads of the tiger statuettes. They dance separately before somersaulting backwards to slide down the tigers, coming together again in Weibo's spotlight. They spin wildly until the guy flubber flings his partner into the air. She turns her skirt into a parachute and sails down, landing on top of him and forming one triumphant blob.
Welcome back to Rutland Arena for half number two. The Medfield Swirls tonight are getting their nuts buried, trailing by 51 at intermission.
Phil rubs flubber on his hands. He claps his hands together, which bounce apart, knocking over two jocks. He shakes hands with his players.
Come on, boys, expect the unexpected.
Dale, come on, son. You can do it.
Come on, Bruce. Here we go.
Werner, be a flying squirrel.
Bart, the impossible's possible.
Come on, Lawrence.
He slaps his rear.
Rodents rule.
A Rutland player has the ball. Wilson applauds his team. Behind him, the professor looks at his watch.
Showtime.
He smiles. A Rutland player throws a long pass. A Medfield defender flubber leaps up and catches the ball. He passes it to his teammate, who begins to dribble. The ball bounces rapidly under the surprised player's hand as he merely holds it above the ball. The basketball is a blur at his fingertips. Smith nudges Wesson, knowingly. The midfielder zips past the defender.
That's pretty good.
He flips out a pass to Lawrence, who bounces it, looking for options. Lawrence's dribbling speeds up and he rushes forward and bounces off a defender. He falls backwards and is launched up face first into the backboard. He is caught by a Rutland defender as the ball rolls teasingly around the basket's rim. It drops in.
Yes! We made it!
The Rutland team runs away, looking upwards at the Medfield team jumping over the scoreboard.
What the?
The players land on the court. Number 13 launches himself at the basket, scoring a slam dunk.
We did it!
The Rutland coach stuffs his towel in his mouth.
Hey, are you blind? They're doing something illegal out here.
Look, coach, nowhere in the rule book does say anything about jumping too high. Now sit down.
Looks like a lonely weekend in the mountains for you, Croft.
He sits back smiling. Sarah looks at Phil. A midfield player takes a foul shot. The ball rebounds off the backboard and bounces to the other basket. It jumps between baskets five more times. It drops into the midfield basket. Phil whacks Wilson on the head with his program.
Did you see that, Croft?
Wilson grabs the rolled up program, but only gets half of it. Midfield gets another interception. Dale lobs the ball up to a soaring number 13 for another long-range slam dunk.
Yes!
The players swarm the court. There are 53 seconds to play. The score is 68-67. Dale sits down courtside and crosses his right leg over his left. He notices the tacks in the sole of his shoe and starts to pull them out. The professor sees what he is doing and stands up for a better view.
Dale! No! Dale! Not the tax!
Not enough!
Okay, now, this game is not over yet. You just want to steal the ball and then score.
Bobby boys, educator coming through.
Coach, I know very little about basketball, but I do know chemistry. And I believe that Dale is having a problem, not with motivations, but with some sort of adhesive buildup on the bottom of his shoes. Do you have any ethyl alcohol?
What? Excuse me.
Coach. Hello, Dale.
Oh, hello, Professor Brainerd.
May I see your soul? And I need the bottom of your shoe.
Oh.
Phil rubs more flubber on his shoe.
Game's not over yet. Keep your chin up and your potential energy high. Because you know why, Dale?
He tosses the towel and it bounces in Wilson's face.
No, Bob.
Get the ball. Jump with all your soul.
But I'm on this end, sir.
Jump, or I'll flunk you.
Oh. What?
You heard me. Jump, or I'll flunk you out of my department. For good.
Okay.
The professor pats his cheeks and walks away.
I think that's a little harsh. Jump!
The Medfield Squirrels are trying to complete this astonishing comeback.
Some patience, Rutland. Plenty of time,
Rutland,
baby.
Rutland has the lead with the clock winding down. These rodents have fought their little hearts out tonight, but it looks like the Squirrels are going to come up a couple of nuts short of a bushel. Playing keep away are the Rangers. Here's a wide open J by Hatch.
Jump, Dale! Jump!
Jepner soaring into the air, makes the steal. Look at him go! Jepner with wings on his shoes, soaring to the other end. He's over. He dives. He's through. And Medfield upsets Rutland on an incredible play by Dale Jepner. And the Squirrels are going nuts.
He turns to hug and kiss Phil, then stops.
This is fun, is it? Within the rules for a player to accompany the ball through the hoop.
Oh, I don't know. Come on, go prepare your dinner.
Sarah?
Good night, Phil.
Good night.
They shake hands and he watches her leave.
Brainerd had something to do with this.
It's the same stuff we saw the other night over at his house.
Right.
I don't know how, but I'm absolutely certain your team cheated.
Oh, you're just being a sore loser.
Sarah? Hey, may I speak to you for a moment? Alone?
What you have to say to her, you can say to both of us, if you can remember.
Sarah?
Flubber. Flubber? Sounds like baby shampoo.
Phil pulls her aside.
Flubber is what won the game. That amazing aerial ballet? That's because I flubberized the boy's shoes. A little on the bottom.
You are remarkable.
He looks at her with confusion as she walks to the car door. Wilson opens it for her.
Sarah?
Good night.
Watch yourself. Now, what do we have to do to get you to take a hint? It's over, Philip. You lost. Go home. Play with your rubber.
The professor stands for a moment, crestfallen. He looks to Sarah sitting in the passenger seat. She looks away. A vintage luxury limousine drives along a wet, winding road. Bennett and his dad are in the back. The older man stares out the window at a flying car, headlights lighting the trees.
What kind of car does that Brainard fellow drive?
Old T-Bird? Why?
I just saw it.
So?
It was flying.
Bennett stares at his dad.
You heard me. Flying.
He looks around the car, nodding. Wesson drives. Smith looks up out of the windshield. Phil trudges up to his porch.
Hey, who won?
We did.
Professor, why the long face?
I think you know why.
Would it be a Sarah issue?
Sarah's picture is on Weibo's screen.
Wish I understood human beings. Wish I understood women. Wish I understood emotions and passions. Wish I understood any of that. If I did, I wouldn't have had to spend my entire life in a laboratory trying to figure out how the world works. I would have been out in the world trying to figure out why it works.
Weibo's red light flashes twice.
I know I love her, Weibo. Every neuron in my limbic system is saturated with phenylethylamine. That triggers euphoria, elation, exhilaration. Truth is, Weibo, I'm not absent-minded because I'm selfish, crazy, or inconsiderate. I'm absent-minded because I'm in love with Sarah.
Professor.
That doesn't matter anymore. Because I don't get any more chances with her.
No, that's not true. There's always another chance. I mean, you never know, right?
Probably just as well that it's over. She has to move on. I'm not right for her. But you knew that, didn't you, Weibo? You never wanted me to marry her. You were right. I wasn't right for her. You're the one for me, Weibo. Just the two of us. And Flubber makes three. Good night, Weibo.
Night. Professor.
He switches off the light and slowly climbs the stairs. Weibo flips open her screen.
And this is the God's truth. I want him to have what he wants. Even if it means you instead of me.
Weibo heads into the darkness, flying along a damp, dark street, past a house with a white picket fence. She flies over a gate towards the front porch of Sarah's house. Veering left, she flies up to the first floor window and smacks into the screen. Recovering, she looks through the window at the sleeping figure of Sarah. She turns on her flashlight and shines it over the bed, straight into Sarah's face. Sarah wakes up.
Sarah? Sarah, it's me.
Weibo?
May I come in?
Oh, I'm sorry to wake you like this, but I can't ring the doorbell.
Is everything okay with Philip?
Oh, yeah. It's not a conventional emergency. Oh, Philip would be very angry if he knew I left. But I have to show you something. Do you have a minute? Listen.
I know I love her, Weibo. Every neuron in my limbic system is saturated with phenylethylamine. That triggers euphoria, elation, exhilaration. Truth is, Weibo,
I'm not absent-minded because I'm selfish, crazy, or inconsiderate. I'm absent-minded because I'm in love with Sarah.
Weebo closes the screen and Sarah drops her hand from her face.
This will be our little secret.
Sarah smiles, cups Weebo in her hands, and kisses her. The professor is fast asleep in bed, his hands folded on his chest. Sarah leans down over him.
Philip.
She watches him sleeping and smiles. Reaching out, she strokes his brow. His eyes flicker open and he smiles in confusion.
Sarah?
They kiss. Hovering nearby, Weebo watches momentarily and then turns away. The professor's flubber-powered car flies up through the clouds into full moonlight. He parks on a cloud bank.
This is it. This is the solution. This is how we save the school.
That's what I've been saying. Flubber, you saw what it did at the game.
Yes.
Imagine the line of shoes we could develop.
Oh, no, Philip. Not shoes. No. Look. This. Flight.
Flight?
Yes.
Oh, of course.
Air travel.
Oh, Sarah. Air travel.
Yes.
Oh. We better sell this to a car company.
Oh, Philip.
The classic luxury car waits outside the professor's house as he reverses the red car back into the garage. Sarah yawns and they look at each other and smile. Suddenly, the light is switched on.
Hiya!
Dr. Reynolds. Professor. It's a pleasure to finally meet you. I believe you know my son. He used to play basketball for Medfield. Lovely old car. Mind if I take a look under the hood?
Yes, I do. And I don't appreciate you gentlemen letting yourselves onto my property.
I expected something more complex. There's a lot of money in your discovery. Perhaps we could make a deal.
Any discovery I make will belong to Medfield College.
At the end of the term, there isn't going to be a Medfield College.
We'll see about that.
You could make a lot of money.
If we were interested in making money, we wouldn't have become teachers.
You think you'll be able to sell it for what you owe me by the end of the term?
We will.
I'll forget the debt right now.
No, I'm not selling.
When I leave, I take my offer with me.
We understand.
Good luck.
He smiles coldly.
Come on. Watch your back, smart guy.
Bad move, Professor.
Sarah and Phil look at each other as the thugs leave. The golf and bowling balls return, knocking out Smith and Wesson, then fly skywards.
Good morning!
Phil flies over a wheat field on his way to Ford's imposing headquarters.
Pardon me, Mr. Selden. Are you interested in seeing a Philip Brainerd?
Who?
He's the college professor you spoke to on the 6th about a brand new car design.
Tell him I'm busy. Thank him for the interest. And send him a hat.
Well, he's here. He's right outside.
Mr. Selden pulls up the blind and stares in shock at the car floating outside his window many stories up. A crowd gathers below. Sarah and the professor wave. Sarah holds a for sale sign upside down. The professor sees it and turns it around. It reads, "For sale by owner," with Sarah's email address.
It's one of the rarest looking watches you can actually own. This watch we have here is called the Scarab. It has Swiss...
Weber switches off the TV.
Good night, Weber.
Weber stretches and settles onto his stand. The dark luxury car pulls up outside the professor's house. Smith and Wesson cautiously approach the back door. It has a broken window.
What?
Their break-in triggers the alarm. A dog barks through the computer. Weibo's screen shows symbols crashing. The flubber growls in its canister. Shining their flashlights down the stairs, they head into the basement. Weibo flies through the ground floor to the broken back door. She looks in the basement. Wesson heaves a workbench over, shattering glass and instruments.
One goon.
Smith tips over shelves.
Two goons.
Smith shines his light in the gloom of the basement and sees the flubber canister on a table. He bends down to inspect it more closely. He wiggles a lever and sees a green residue spilling from the top of the canister. He pulls at it and it snaps back. The flubber retreats under the lid. He taps on the outside.
Hey.
Warren.
Think I found it.
You found it, all right!
Meebo hurls herself at Wesson, knocking him off his feet.
What was that?
Take two?
Smith hides under the table. Weibo scans the basement as Wesson crawls along the floor. Wesson sees a baseball bat and heads toward it. Smith pops his head up as Wesson reaches for the bat. Weibo sweeps past Smith, who tries to run.
Knock, knock.
She hits him. Smith crashes onto a workbench. Weibo returns to scanning the basement. Wesson creeps behind a shelving unit, keeping out of sight. Smith hides, but Wesson is focused on Weibo. Her screen flashes with the cavalry, and she attacks Wesson.
He's sleeping, boy!
Wesson swings the bat. Weibo is hit with full force and flies against a cabinet. She falls off. Wesson watches with the bat slung over his shoulder. He checks on Weibo.
Did you get it? Yeah.
The flubber strains within the container. Meanwhile, Sarah and Phil return home.
Oh, I've never seen so many zeros.
When they saw us flying, they couldn't wait to write the check. This will save the school, Philip. Yes.
They stop at the broken back door lying on the ground. Weber is trying to clean up with a dustpan and broom. They gingerly tiptoe past him.
Weibo?
They descend into the basement, cautiously peering through the dim light.
Weibo?
Phil crosses to a switch and turns on the lights. He looks around quickly.
I took the flubber. Weibo?
They see a flash of light behind a can, and the professor and Sarah rush over. Weibo lies broken on the floor. Sarah jumps back with a hand over her mouth.
You're leaking battery fluid.
Weibo, it's me. Do you have signal? Do you have audio signal? Tracking. It's me, Professor Brainerd. Focus. Weibo? Can you see me?
Weibo's lid jerks up and down.
Weibo, it's all right. I need to get some sort of extension cord, something so I can recharge her. I've got to download her quick. Weibo, it's all right. It's okay.
He carefully picks her up.
Can you hear me? It's going to be all right. It's like that time you ran into the wall when I first met you. We'll get you upstairs, up to AC, and... She's losing power. It's all okay. It's all right. I'm just gonna get you to the docking station. Until I can make repairs.
His eyes fill with tears. Weibo's screen flashes the word stork and goes blank. Fighting to hold back his tears, he reaches forward and gently closes Weibo's screen.
I'm gonna do it.
Tears fill his eyes, and a solitary drop runs slowly down his cheek. Sarah sits on a bench on the veranda. Phil props the broken door against its frame and joins her on the bench. They hold hands.
I don't know what to do with her. What happens to the soul of a machine, Sarah?
She shakes her head as she watches him.
Can you fix her?
I can make repairs. But I can never bring back the life it was she had. It's gone. I never knew what it was to begin with. It was some sort of glorious accident. I kept trying to recreate it and isolate it and find out what it was. I never could.
What was that word she was displaying on her screen at the end?
Probably a file name.
Why was she displaying it?
She was damaged. It's, you know, download, random piece of information.
What was that word? Oh, can you remember?
No,
Try.
I am.
He closes his eyes, trying to think. Sarah kisses his cheek and puts her head on his shoulder.
Again with S.
She jerks her head up. The professor sits at his desk, tapping keys on a keyboard. Sylvia appears on the screen.
Hello, Philip. It's me. Weibo. If I was human, that is. If you're watching this, I'm no longer here. I hope my demise didn't cause you any undue distress. Philip, a full and complete design of me is in this file. You didn't forget it. I never showed it to you. I've made a few changes. I've removed a few of my flaws and added a little of you.
His face lights up.
I hope that you can love my daughter as much as I loved you.
The on-screen Weibo blows the professor a kiss. He kisses his fingers and touches them to her face on the screen. Her picture is replaced with code and designs for Weebet. An animated screen says, "Hi." The car flies over a house, narrowly missing a TV antenna. Sarah and the professor sit side by side. His mouth is in a tight line. They swing around the ornamental pond on the driveway to the Henniker residence, skidding to a halt on the gravel. A large wooden door is opened by Wesson, who ushers them inside with a smirk and a bandage on his head.
Surprise, surprise.
Professor Brainerd. Dr. Reynolds. Good evening. Sit down.
Bennett sits with his father on a couch.
You look,
weary.
Yes, weary. You came to repay your loan?
No.
I know you didn't. I was just having a little fun.
I'm here to sell you the flubber.
You've been to your house recently?
Yes.
Do I really need to buy it?
Flubber is a very quixotic substance. It's very difficult to handle. Have you tried to do anything with it?
My man is working on it. It won't be a problem.
Well, I could make it a lot easier for you.
Flubber is on their shoes.
If you give us a 30-day extension on the loan, I'll tell you everything I know and make you a great deal of flubber.
I'll give you the 30 days. And after that, you give me 2 years. Whatever you come up with over the next 2 years is mine.
That's not fair.
Her leg bounces.
Shop somewhere else, lady.
Sarah. I'll do it. May I see the flubber?
Would you like to show these good people to the library?
Walking carefully on the flubber tacks on their shoes, they follow Smith and Wesson. Phil activates the flubber engine by remote control. The car rises up, flying around the left side of the large house. It flies over a glass roof as everyone walks along the corridor. Smith pushes open the double doors to the library. Sarah and Phil are followed by Bennett and Henniker. The flubber canister is the centerpiece. The professor guides the car to the outer window with the remote. It hovers outside, just out of view.
You're going to enjoy this. Professor? I got you a little help.
Wilson stands.
Oh, the lovebirds!
Wilson! Shame on you.
Welcome.
So you finally gave up teaching.
How could I pass up the opportunity to transform the energy industry? Flubber! Very interesting, Phil. Too bad it's so unstable. I was just looking over the formula. Dangerous mix.
You just have to know how to deal with it, really. It just takes a few simple precautions.
Hey, hang on, Einstein.
Stein.
Whatever.
Wesson pulls Phil's hand out of his coat pocket.
What's this?
Well, it's a hand cream that acts as a separating agent.
Right.
Phil rubs it on his hands.
It's so I can handle the flubber.
It's okay.
Thank you. She needs to assist me. Rub it on your hands.
The professor reaches for an inside pocket, but Wesson stops him. The goon reaches in himself and pulls out a gun.
It's a,
Wesson pulls the trigger, spraying Phil in the face. They both smile.
Squirt gun.
What's it for?
I use that to lower the temperature of the tank.
Let him have it.
Wesson squirts Phil in the face.
No, no. Give it to him. No, no, no. Give it to him. Stop that and give it to him. Put it in his hand and give it to him.
He squirts liquid at Phil's hand.
No, no, no. Give the gun to him.
Oh.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The professor cautiously approaches the canister. He puts the cream and the squirt gun in his pockets and unlocks the clasp. He flips open the lid. Everyone jumps. Henniker closes the door. The professor peers into the open canister.
You okay? It's me.
He coaxes the green blob onto his palm.
Here you go.
It lunges at Wesson, but the professor holds on. He takes out the remote and activates the flashlights on the car.
Do it for Weebo.
Look out!
He pushes the button and the flashlights hit the flubber, causing it to go spiky and jump around. They all stare at the frantic green blob as it spasms on Phil's hand. Suddenly, it leaps towards the ceiling.
Get him!
The professor bounces out of the way, forcing Smith and Wesson to punch each other.
Oh, dear.
Sarah, are we somewhere?
Wilson.
Wilson grabs Sarah. She turns and throws a punch to his jaw. The flubber cream gives her more power and she speeds up, landing punch after punch. She delivers a hard blow with her right fist. He staggers into the flubber canister, knocking himself out.
Sarah!
Grab her.
Wait!
Yes! I'm coming, Sarah!
He jumps off the ladder and high-fives Sarah as they pass over Bennett's failed grab. Sarah comes down on top of Smith, knocking him out again. Phil jumps from the wall and springs over Wesson. He clings to a water buffalo head. Bennett runs to his dad. Phil jumps down for a soft landing on a chair and sits.
Hey, Lumpy!
Come
on.
Let's go, smart guy.
Wesson punches him on the chin, but his fist bounces into Sarah, who pushes him back. He meets the professor's fist and crashes into a bust. Bennett grabs an ashtray. Phil sprays his behind with flubber and the ashtray bounces off him and smacks Bennett in the head. He falls over a sofa. Henniker tries to escape. Sarah jumps up to catch the flubber mid-bounce. The professor catches her. Henniker flings open the doors and runs.
Get it!
This one's for Weebo!
Sarah pitches the flubber. The flubber bounces off the back of his head, hurling him through a window into a pond. It bounces back towards the library, targeting Wilson's mouth. He spasms and grabs at his stomach, his throat, his mouth. Suddenly, Wilson stops. He half squats and bends forward.
Oh, mommy.
The flubber rockets out of the back of his pants at lightning speed and escapes out the window. Wilson looks at Sarah and the professor, then faints. Sarah stares wide-eyed at Wilson on the floor. She takes Phil's hand. They shake their heads in disbelief and walk away. A newspaper lands on the sidewalk. The headline reads, Professor Brainerd Saves College. At home in the lab, Phil scrutinizes a flask of pale purple liquid.
Beautiful.
He wears a morning suit and top hat.
Forasmuch as these two people have finally consented together in holy wedlock and have witnessed the same before God and this company, I pronounce, believe it or not, that they be husband and wife together. You may now kiss the video screen.
A camera records Sarah removing her veil in church as Phil kisses her via Weber's screen from the lab.
Love you, Sarah. I love you.
Sarah walks down the aisle with Leibot.
I'll meet you at the reception. I'm almost done. It's going to be remarkable.
Philip, please be careful.
Don't worry. These chemicals are completely compatible. There's no chance that anything could go wrong!
Clouds of smoke burst out from under the house, and the bowling ball and golf ball bounce down and straight back up. A jumbo jet flies through the clouds. Inside, the scared boy sits by a window with the blind down.
Hey, pal. We're 30,000 feet up in the air. There's no monsters or bad guys way up here, okay? You can look out the window.
The boy looks at his dad, then straight ahead. He slowly raises the blind. Sarah and the professor are flying just off the wing. They wave as Flubber slaps onto the window. Weebot peeks out from the car.
Mom! Mom! Flubber's gone! Get back here!
Flubber peels off the window and the little boy slams down the shade. A sign on the back of the car reads, Finally married.
When we get to the hotel, I don't care what you say. I'm not sharing a room with him. Look at him. He's gross. He bounces all the time. He squeaks. He phase shifts. I mean, he's a quasi-plasmoid. If it's hot in Hawaii, I hope he melts.
Description by Deluxe with funding by Disney. Voice by Danielle Ezra. Copyright 1997 Disney Enterprises, Inc. All rights reserved. This motion picture was created by Walt Disney Pictures and Television for purposes of copyright law in the United Kingdom. Distributed by Buena Vista Pictures Distribution. Against a blue background sits a louvered image of a castle. The space beneath the castle flares magically to reveal the words Walt Disney Pictures as a shooting star creates an arch.